People of the world, you guys know that I absolutely love jerseys. I have way too many to count. Baseball, football, basketball, every player, every team, you name it, I more than likely got it. And I want to thank the people at Fans Idea for this jersey that you're seeing here right now. A slick back baseball style jersey with the 20 and the 19 on the back with the name Fonz on it. And look at this, if you see here closely, look at this. Boom, the logo on the side. It's an absolute great jersey. I can't thank them enough. And they got a lot of good quality jerseys on there. I'll tell you that right now. The stitching is really nice. It feels like the actual MLB jersey. They got a bunch of other ones on there. They got hockey, they got baseball, they got basketball, the football, they got all of them. They got every single team kind of color, so you can, if you want to go for a certain team, they more than likely got it. You definitely want to go over and get yourself a custom-made jersey today. Listen, you want to be part of a team, we all do. Why not make yourself your own and make your own team? Be yourself. And while you're over there ordering yourself a jersey, you go to checkout, use the code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 10% off your order today. Support the brand, support Fans Idea. They give you a really good idea of what jersey to get. You see what I did there? Loser game show sound intensifies. But seriously, the jerseys are absolutely incredible. I can't thank them enough for this jersey. Again, fansidea.com and use the code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 10% off your order. Go get yourself a jersey. Be a part of a team. Create your own team. Why not? Go do it right now. 194, people. 194. You guys are the best, as I always say. Look at that. Another episode. You haven't already checked out last week's episode with Mike Natale. That was a really good episode talking Jets and Mets and everything. That was a good episode. Check out Fonz Talk jerseys, by the way. Everything down below. New video came out with them, or with me, actually, because I'm Fonz Talk jerseys. That's me, damn it. Check everything down below. Thank you guys for always checking out the podcast. Let's get right into it.
Hard on your podcast, man. The Slick Back Kickback Report. I love that.
That ball is out of here. The Mets win the ball game.
Stoudemire on the drive. Throws it down. Amari Stoudemire with a season high 35.
Stoudemire! Take your team and secure the Burger Town.
Jackson throws. Oh, what a grab!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Slick Back Kickback Report, your home for all things sports and entertainment. Now here's your host, Fonz DeFalco.
As always, you're checking everything out with the podcast down below, the YouTube, you know, Slick Back Kickback Report, Fonz DeFalco. If you listen to audio, give the podcast a rate. Send the email to the pod. I realize now the YouTube description had the email name wrong. Shout out to my sister for figuring that out. So it's been changed. It's slickbackkickback@gmail.com. If you haven't sent the question or whatever, I probably didn't get them because I put the wrong email down. So I greatly apologize for that. But thank you for everything. Thank you for checking out everything too. I want to start off with this, a little bit sadder stuff that's happening in the wrestling world too. And if you haven't checked out, you know, me, Mike and Albert have talked about it on Four Corners. So you've checked that out too. Bray Wyatt passed away a few days ago at the age of 36. And, you know, whenever a wrestler passed away or anybody that I grew up like watching on TV or athlete or whatever, it really gets to me. And this is the one that really did get to me out of all of them. Quick little story with that. You know, there was a time, you guys, I think I've said this before multiple times, that I stopped watching wrestling. It was around like 2006, 2007. I kind of stopped watching it. I think it was like Kofi Kingston was just getting into ECW. Like WWE ECW was a thing. I don't remember like what was exactly going on at the time, but it was around that time period and I stopped watching wrestling like completely. Like I did not know what was going on with it. I don't know who won what. I don't know who was still there and I knew nothing about it. And then it was 2016, senior year of college, that I just randomly, I don't know what it was, but I was like, huh, I wonder what's going on in the wrestling world. Let me tune in. And it was, and I was like looking up like what I saw on Mondays or whatever. And I would grow up watching SmackDown. I'm like, let me watch SmackDown because that was the first thing I watched when I was a kid. So I saw SmackDown. It was called SmackDown Live. It was on Tuesdays. I'm like, oh, so it's not taped anymore. It's a live show. And again, this is someone who came back in 2016 that knew nothing. That was going on. I was like 10 plus years of not knowing a single thing about wrestling. I turn on into SmackDown and I see the usual cast of people there too. I'm like, oh, Randy Orton, he's still there. John Cena, he's still there. I remember Kofi Kingston, it was at the beginning of his career, like, oh, wow, he's still in the company, still doing well. I saw AJ Styles. Like, I remember him not being, he was on TNA at the time, but we finally made it to WWE. Like, I didn't, again, did not know anything about it. And there was a slew of new guys that I did know, like, knew nothing about. Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin. I was like, oh, Dolph Ziggler's still there, too. But there was one guy that I was very interested in. I'm like, who's this bearded guy? And it was Bray Wyatt. And I was so intrigued with the Bray Wyatt character because it was something that I really don't remember ever really having in wrestling, like this spiritual, culty leader. And I was just intrigued by it, like with him, and then Luke Harper was there too. So I kind of did, like, I was like, oh, this guy's like interesting. Let me do some research on this guy. Let me look at who this guy's all about. And I kind of went back and I saw his past matches. And I was like, oh, wow, like, if I was watching wrestling, I would have loved, like, the Wyatt family and all that stuff, too. He had the stuff with the Shield, and I was watching him, like, oh, whoa, like, this is really cool. Like, I like his moves. I like the character. I like the promos he's doing with, like, the Hawaiian shirts, the fedora, and the rocking chair, like, the swamp cult leader. Like, I thought it was, like, cool, the whole Wyatt family with Harper, Eric Rowan, Braun Strowman at the time. I saw he had the feud with John Cena, and I was like, oh, he had a WrestleMania match with John Cena, doing stuff with The Undertaker. And I was like, whoa, like, I binge-watched a bunch of his matches. And I was so invested in his career. I'm like, this guy, like, was getting me back into wrestling. And so I ended up, like, when I was watching SmackDown during time in college, I always wanted to see what Wyatt was doing, what promos he was doing and whatnot, too. And he had the SmackDown tag title reign with Randy Orton, who was in the Wyatt family now. I'm like, all right, like, what's going to go on here? He was doing his thing, and then I got really hyped when he won the WWE Championship at Elimination Chamber 2017. I distinctly remember this. I got up out of my chair and I was like, let's go. Like, I was so hyped about Bray Wyatt winning it. And then from there on, I was just always intrigued with his character. You know, even I didn't want to drop it at WrestleMania to Randy Orton, but, you know, he was still doing his thing. He went over to Raw, teaming up with Matt Hardy, like with broken Matt Hardy. They had a tag title reign. And the whole character itself, I just loved it. I don't know what it was he connected with. He's like connected with me with all these promos. I don't know, like, why. And then he was away for a little bit, and then he came back and did the Fiend character, like the Mr. Rogers, the Firefly Funhouse. And it's the time Albert got back into it, too, and we were talking about him, like, what is the stuff he's doing? Like, we were just so intrigued by it. And I just fell in love with the character of Bray Wyatt, and that's why I binge-watched a bunch of his matches, and I kept, like, watching all of his stuff. And I was like, I was so into it. I really do. I really was into it a lot. The Fiend, the Firefly Funhouse, all that stuff he did, it was so cool. I remember going to a SmackDown show and seeing him against the B team in a handicap match. Like, seeing the entrance live, it, like, gave me chills. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is the guy. Like, obviously, Chris Jericho is my favorite wrestler of all time. And I have a bunch of other, but, like, Bray Wyatt was the one that got me back into wrestling fully after a 10-year hiatus. Like, really, like, one of those wrestlers. And it was just, you know, talking about makes it, like, sad. It's just, he was dealing with some health issues. He left. He came back. He had a thing with LA Knight. And I was just really looking forward to seeing him come back. Because whatever he was thrown with, he made it work. I can't think of another wrestler that would have made the Firefly Funhouse, Mr. Rogers with the sweater. I can't think of anybody else that would have made that work. I can't think of another wrestler that would make the swamp characters, like the cult leader. I don't know. I can't think of anybody that would have made it work. Just Bray Wyatt. You know, that was just, it was just sad. It was just very, very sad. But I just wanted to say, like, you know, he did accomplish a lot in his WWE career. And it now leaves you wondering, like, damn, like, he's so young. And I know he had so much ahead of him, too, with his career. Like, I think he was just about to be cleared. And he was dealing with some health issues. And you just was wondering, like, wow, like, I really wanted to see what he could have done now. You know, 2-time Universal Champion, WWE Champion, SmackDown Raw Tag Champion. And a lot of what-ifs of, like, what could have been with the character itself, too. Because there were some times, too, with some questioning booking decisions with him. And I was upset by some of them, too. Especially with the Universal title reign, too, and the Seth Rollins Hell in the Cell. That's a whole other story. I want to celebrate the life of Wyatt. That one hurt. It hurt me. You know, there was a lot of others, wrestlers that have passed, too. The Luke Harper one got me, really, too, because him kind of tied in with Wyatt, got me back into it. The Razor Ramon one, because I just love the character. I never watched him wrestle live, but I just kind of like the old school character. It was really cool. You know, that. But this is, like, this is definitely the one that really was, like, that gut-wrenching that, like, that hit me. Because I just was, he truly got me back into wrestling with the character and everything. I was just so intrigued by it, you know. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family. And just, you know, I just want to say thank you to Bray Wyatt for getting me back into wrestling with your stuff. You literally made anything work. And that Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena, I literally watched that back. That was funny. Like, that was good looking back on it. If you haven't already watched, like, some of the stuff with the Shield, like the Shield versus the Wyatt family, watch the Elimination Chamber 2017 match. That was a good one. You know, that was, you know, that was just something. But I just want to say thank you, Bray, for all those lasting memories, too, and the Fireflies and everything, too. Such a great entrance, too. Really, really awesome stuff, man. He got you into it, man. He really, and I'm sure he got a lot of other people into wrestling, too. It's just sad. It hit you. That one really hit me. So say thank you to Bray for all those memories. And, you know, just thank you. That's all I got to say. I know it's a bad start too, but I kind of want to just give a thank you to him too. So I do apologize if I start with a little bit of a somber thing, but it's more of a celebration of Bray. Seeing that SmackDown after overseeing, he's got the whole world in his hands, like the crowd singing it. Like it was nice to see. And seeing like the rocking chair, it just got to me, man. But I didn't mean to start off the episode like that, but, you know, just want to say thank you to Bray.
Grateful Apparel people, let me tell you guys a little something about the brand Grateful. If you guys aren't aware, I became an official Grateful brand ambassador a while back, and let me tell you, the clothes are absolutely comfortable, and they're just awesome designs and really cool. They got everything from hats, hoodies, t-shirts, long sleeves, shorts. You name it, they got it. They have various colors, designs, a good vintage look to it. Right now, I'm wearing the Cam Grateful hoodie and the Daisy Trucker hat right now if you're seeing this on video. And I'm holding up some t-shirts here, too. A Grateful Heart is the key to happiness. That's the one shirt I got. And also here, also the Grateful with the arch, the 3D. This looks like the old Microsoft Word design to it. I cannot stress this enough. The clothes here are so comfortable, and they're such a cool look to it, and also it's a great message. Grateful, you just got to be grateful for everything in life, and that's something I definitely learned throughout this past year, and basically I'm gonna carry on for the rest of my life to be grateful. Golding Brand is made for you, the hardworking man or woman, just being grateful for life and whatnot. And I just got to keep saying it. These clothes are awesome. It's a great company, a great message. And as a brand ambassador, I just got to keep saying it. Stuff is awesome. You want to get some cool merch like the ones I'm wearing right now? You definitely head over to www.gratefulapparel.com. While you're over there, check out a bunch of stuff they got. And use the code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 15% off your order. That's right. Use code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 15% off your order at Grateful Apparel. Get yourself a hat, a t-shirt, shorts. Get whatever you want and use the code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, at checkout for 15% off your order. Support the brand. Support Grateful. Support an awesome message. That's all I got to say. Go check it out now.
So football is going to be back up, though. Preseason's officially over, too. It's the time for fantasy football. I guess I have my fantasy football drafts, too. Preseason's over. Roster cuts are coming about and everything, too. A lot of moves, who's starting, whatever, too. So it's going to be a good time. Next week, we'll do some more in-depth football talk, too. But it's going to be a lot of fun. A little bit of, I guess it's a mini bye week because the season doesn't start. It starts the following week, September 10th, when the Ravens play, too. So let's take a look at like the Ravens roster. Again, Ravens fans. There's a lot of other stuff. I know this is being recorded on Sunday, so the roster cut deadline's on Tuesday. It's going to come out probably on Wednesday, so it's going to be maybe a little bit outdated, but this is kind of just what I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen with the roster, which is assuming is going to happen. Bearing anything else, it's going to be changing up too, but like, I'm looking at the Ravens roster right now, so look at, start from top to bottom to the quarterbacks. I mean, Lamar Jackson, obviously, it's he's the number one quarterback, and there's no question about it. The question is, you know, what's going to be the number two? Personally, I would say keep Tyler Huntley as the backup. He's been playing better in the preseason. He's been a talented backup for Lamar. He held his own when Lamar was out with an injury. He was a Pro Bowler, by the way. I know they're talking about like a third quarterback. I know they have a new rule now that you can heap three quarterbacks on the roster that don't count towards your active total. You know, Josh Johnson could be the good third quarterback, but I think really you'll look at probably Anthony Brown will be like the third QB, would be on the practice squad too. But that's pretty much all settled too. Going to like the running back situation too. I think, you know, obviously J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are they're locks to make the roster. Justice Hill, there was questions about him, but I think as a good return guy slash, you know, third down back, even special teamer, you keep him around on there too. There's a lot of other veterans on there that aren't really good for special teams and you know, rotational guys too. But I got to say, though, there's one guy that was kind of eye-opening for me in the preseason is the undrafted guy, Keaton Mitchell. They're not going to let him go. I think the Ravens have a good knack of finding undrafted talent. 2020 undrafted guy, but he's a fast guy. And there's a lot of potential with this guy making an impact on the roster, maybe a role player or a returner or something with that team. They're not going to let him go because he did show a lot in the preseason. So I think he should make the roster. But keep an eye on Keaton Mitchell. I think there's a role for him on this team. Melvin Gordon, though, probably will not make the roster, too. I mean, he's a veteran guy, but he's just going to be an insurance guy. Maybe can you put, I don't know what the practice squad rule is now. Maybe throw him on the practice squad for now. But he's talented, but I think he doesn't fit this room because he doesn't provide any special teams. No return aspect or third down. He kind of is basically what J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards do. And if they're both healthy, you know, I don't think, you know, Gordon's going to miss the roster or anything like that. That's just kind of just what I'm thinking here, too. Fullback Pat Ricard. I know offensive coordinator kind of wants to use him in different ways. He's working out with the offensive line. He's been good at defense here and there, too. They're going to keep him on there. He's a good, like, he's their version of, like, a gadget guy as a fullback. But they're going to use him, obviously, fullback, offensive. They're going to use him around for a lot of different things. They're not going to let this guy go. Fullbacks are very rare nowadays, so I think they're going to do whatever they can to keep him, too. This is the one where it's kind of like questioning the wide receiver room. Not the top three, because obviously Odell, Rashad Bateman, and Zay Flowers are your three-headed monster heading into the season for the Ravens. It comes to the question is what happens after the three, because you got a lot of options here. They could be Nelson Agholor, Duvernay, Tylan Wallace, James Proche, and a lot of other, like, other guys here, too. Agholor, Duvernay. Duvernay can provide in the special teams, has a good role player here and there. Tylan Wallace plays special teams. And Agholor is a good veteran presence behind, like, an OBJ, Rashad, and Zay if, like, one of them gets hurt or whatever, too. I hope that's not the case. I really do think that Odell, Bateman, and Zay is one of the better trios. One of the better ones. I know we have a lot of other teams in there, but, like, if they're healthy, it's a big healthy with OBJ coming back from the ACL, hasn't played in a year. Bateman had injury problems last year. Zay Flowers, he's an unknown guy. But when healthy, they should be like a really good trio receiving corps. And this is one of Lamar Jackson's best receiver rooms he's had in his career. And I really think one of them's going to have 2,000, or one of them's going to have 1,000 yards, excuse me. Two of them will have 1,000. There's going to be 1,000 yards somewhere in this mix, I do believe, if they're healthy. You know, Duvernay's making a lot, so to keep him as a number five and returner, I don't know. Duvernay could be hurt because of his contract, but Tylan Wallace definitely should make it because of he was good in the preseason. He's a good special teamer, too, if they want to keep him over Duvernay. Who knows, but it's a lot of questions with that. I think really with the tight ends, too, it's easy. Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. Charlie Kolar is going to be really good for us, you know. He's a good special teamer for us. Isaiah Likely, like I said, he's going to have a really good season. Keep an eye on him. Outside of Mark Andrews, he's going to be really good too. But Isaiah Likely is a good number two for us. And you go like to the offensive line. It's just crazy. I know they're thinking of either trading Ben Cleveland or cutting him. If you get good value out of Ben Cleveland, trade him. You know, he's kind of been struggling for us a little here and there too. But, you know, as far as, like, this is what our lineup looks like now, I guess. You got Ronnie Stanley, Linderbaum, Zeitler, Morgan Moses, Makari, I have Masalea. I can't pronounce the full name, too. You have a bunch of other options, but you have a good, strong, again, it's all about the injuries, man. We cannot get injured because we have a really solid offensive line, so we'll see what happens with Ben Cleveland. The defensive line, too, you got a lot of things. I mean, Michael Pierce came back with the team. Justin Matabuke, Broderick Washington. I think Matabuke is going to have a huge year. Keep an eye on him. I think that defensive line you're good with. Outside linebacker, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. I didn't even talk about that. Jadeveon Clowney is a good add for us, I would say, in the pass rusher spot. Replaces a Justin Houston who left. I believe he went to the Panthers. I have no idea, but you know, Houston was a good first, but Clowney's a former number one pick. He can provide some good rotation for us, too. I think with the Ravens, they're very good, and I keep saying this, they're good with bringing these veteran guys in and kind of reviving their careers of some sort. Justin Houston's a good case for it, too. Bringing guys who have a lot of unproven guys, it shows the culture with the team. But, you know, Odefi Away, David Ajabo, definitely the two guys, and Jadeveon Clowney will come into the rotation spot. Ajabo, remember, this guy was supposed to be a first-round pick. Fell to us in the third round because he tore his Achilles in his pro day workout. I think this is really good. Tyus Bowser, I think, is going to be on the NFI list. I think he has an injury report. He's on there, but he's not going to count towards his 53-man. I don't know what's going to happen with here, but this is going to be really good for us. The outside linebackers are really solid. The inside backers, I think really there's a lot of depth. but like the it's gonna be hard. I mean, Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen are your number one and two. Trenton Simpson, who you got in the draft this past season, he's gonna be a good rotation guy. Maybe eventually replace Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen has to step up big time this year. We know what Roquan Smith's able to do. Look what that defense changed like that when he joined that team. So now with a full offseason under his belt with the Ravens, he's gonna go off this year. And you got guys like Malik Harrison, you know, definitely could make the spot at the four. Fifth one could be questionable. You know, you got Ross, Deshaun Phillips. I think Deshaun Phillips, Delshawn Phillips, excuse me, had a good, you know, good preseason, a good special team or two. This is what it comes down to with like after the starters and like this first backup. Can they provide on special teams? That's like the thing you want to, that's the thing you kind of question too. Cornerback, this is what I worry about. The injuries happened already at the preseason. Marlon Humphrey got hurt. They're going to be starting the regular season. Damarian Williams, too. But this is what we have. We've got Marlon Humphrey, Rocky Sin, Ronald Darby, who we signed to, is a solid corner. Brandon Stevens, who I kind of question here and there. Caillou Kelly is another one. Our rookie, Jalen Armour Davis. A lot of unknown, a lot of injuries, a lot of questions. I just hope this is what I worry about with this team. But, you know, we'll see. The safeties, you know, Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton are your two starters, too. Marcus Williams played really well for us in the Ravens. Geno Stone was a good backup for us. We missed some time with an ankle injury, but he's like our good special teams guy, so I want to keep him around. Comes down really to does Ardarius Washington beat out guys like DeAndre Houston, Carson, and Darryl Worley? The one of those guys can end up on the practice squad. I think Washington can also play can play nickel, slot corner, and kind of play on the special teams as well, too. So, well, Houston Carson can also, too. It's a lot of questions, but, what happens there at that point? And then the specialist, I mean, Justin Tucker, duh. Jordan Stout, duh. Sucks our long snappers out, Nick Moore with the torn Achilles. Joe Tyler Allen makes a long snapper spot. I don't see anything else there. So I think Stout was a great punter for us. But I think this team overall, like, I'm happy for, and we'll talk more about the Ravens, like, you know, next week, kind of more like in depth, maybe. I don't know, maybe I'll get a guest on, who knows. But, you know, a lot with the Ravens, the questions is the injuries. You know, how are they going to be in the injury field? That's what I kind of worry about. We already had it with the corners. So who knows, even our long snapper, our Pro Bowl long snapper. So that's just the questions I have here with that team. But let's do some Fonz's predictions, something we haven't done in a while here. Fonz's predictions, it's a way too early 2023 playoff team. It's kind of not way too early, maybe. It'd be a too early. Too early 23 playoff teams. My thing is, I'm not going to go in depth on who's going to win the Super Bowl. I just think who's going to be the seedings for the playoffs, and then we'll go from there, maybe. I'll just do the seedings, you know, make it a little bit easier, too. So I got, obviously, it's the four division winners and three wild card spots. The first winner of the division, like the number one seed, gets the first round bye. So it's very easy for me here. So let's go to the AFC first for the division winners for Fonz's predictions for the too early 2023 playoff teams. The first seed, I mean, it's very obvious. The first round bye, I have the Chiefs winning. The AFC West, the number one seed. I mean, honestly, like, is there a question? They had their complete from top to bottom. We had a question about the wide receiver room last year, but they got better at the wide receiver spot. Isaiah Pacheco, I'm telling you, keep an eye on that guy at the running back spot. Defense is pretty solid, too. Look what happened with their corners, rookie corners last year, and they played well, and they balled out. The question now is with Chris Jones, what are you going to do with him? With his piece, he should get paid. He's a good defensive lineman. But I think it's an easy question, first round bye. The first seed and the first round bye. There's no question about it. The number two seed, I got the Cincinnati Bengals because they're winning the AFC North. Look, I'm a Ravens fan, but I'm taking the cap off here. There's no denying that the Bengals are a really, really good team, too. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, defense is really solid, too. I just question the Ravens' injuries is just what's going to worry me here. Otherwise, they would have easily been the first seed. But I think the Bengals edge them out just by a little bit here because they always play a tough matchup. I think the tiebreaker probably end up going to the Bengals here because they might win the head-to-head matchup. So I got them at the two seed. The three seed, I got the AFC East as the third seed, but the Buffalo Bills winning it, too. I think the top three is very obvious. I know we're looking hype around the Jets, and I'm hyped for them too, the Dolphins as well, but I think the Bills are still the better team on defense, have a good Stephon Diggs, you still have Josh Allen out there, good running game, good offensive line. The question is how far do they go in the playoffs, but I think they win the AFC East very close though, I think, but they're going to be the third seed and be a division winner here. The Cuffers are going to have my dog for barking here, but you know, the fourth seed is the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars. That division is really bad, if I'm going to be honest here, but like The Jaguars, I think, are the only team I see them winning coming out of that division, being in the playoffs, too. You know, the Titans, I don't trust, to be honest. The Texans and the Colts are going to be in rebuild mode. But I think the Jaguars are going to be the fourth seed. But they could make some noise in the playoffs. They did last year, but the addition of Calvin Ridley coming back, that's going to be really good, too. Trevor Lawrence, another year better. So I got them. So that's the division winners here. Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Jaguars is 1-4. Then it go to the wild card teams, the 3 wild card spots here. The first wild card spot, I give them to the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens will have a better record than the Jaguars, in my opinion. But I think because division leaders, they'll take the top seeds more. So the wild card, number one, to the Ravens. It really just all comes down to, will Lamar be healthy? And on top of that, will everyone else be healthy? I'm not saying, you know, if we get one or two injuries, it's not the end of the world. But like if we lose everybody like we did last year, that's where it's going to be a little bit of a tough pill to swallow, I would say. The second wild card spot, I'm going to give it to the New York Jets. I do believe the hype is real, especially in that offense. They boosted up that receiving core. Breece Hall's coming back. Dalvin Cook. The questions around the offensive line, I get it, but you have Aaron Rodgers there. Defense is looking good. You still have Sauce Gardner, C.J. Mosley, Quinnen Williams you brought back. The question maybe in the back safety spots is going to be a little bit of a question. That's why I have the Bills over the Jets, but I think the Jets make the second seed as the wild card. I believe in the hype. I'm believing in the hype. I really am with this. And the last wild card spot, and it's, you can go a number of ways, but I'm picking the Steelers. I think 3 teams come out of the AFC North. That division is going to be tough. I don't think Mike Tomlin is going to miss the playoffs again. You know, questions will be Kenny Pickett. I think he'll get a little bit better. Still got Najee Harris. Your receiving core is a lot better now. Your defense is still really good. You know, offensive line is a little bit of a struggle here, but the Steelers can make some noise, I think. I really do. I think George Pickens is a really good receiver. And Deontay Johnson is an underrated receiver. Najee Harris is still there. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick at the safety spot, too. Patrick Peterson's a corner there now. He's a Pittsburgh Steeler now. But I think they're going to make some noise. The Chargers, I don't trust because of Brandon Staley. I like Herbert a lot. I don't trust that defense. And I don't trust their receiving core outside of Quentin Johnson is a rookie. You know, I mean, Keenan Allen, Michael, they're good, but the injuries are a big problem too. So I don't trust them on that one. What were the other teams? The Dolphins too. I don't know what's going on. I know Jalen Ramsey is going to be out for a while. Xavier Howard, we don't know. The running back position, you don't know what's going to happen there. You still have Tyreek Hill and Waddle and Tua, but like, you don't have an offensive line. Your defense might be struggling. I don't think they're going to beat out the Jets and the Bills. I don't see it. And the Patriots as well, too. It's a weird time. The Patriots are the last in the division, but that's something with that. I already seen with AFC. You know what? The Browns, they have a lot of questions, man. I don't think Watson's the same quarterback as he once was. And, you know, rightfully so. He's a little bit of a, you know, that whole thing, too. But, like, I don't trust the Browns either. What's the other one? The West, who the Raiders are the Raiders, and the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos. They will improve a little bit, but not enough to make the playoff spots. That's my Fonz's prediction for the AFC. Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Jaguars, Wild Card, Ravens, Jets, Steelers in that order. Let's go to the NFC. The NFC division winners. The first one here, some are saying the Eagles, but I got the 49ers winning the West and being the first seed. Trey Lance just got traded to the Dallas Cowboys, which is crazy to me. They're going with Brock Purdy. Apparently, Sam Darnold had a good camp. Still got McCaffrey. You got Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, George Kittle. Tremblay's one of the best offensive linemen. The defense, the front seven is crazy. Secondary is good. There's no, like, weakness. If you want to count Brock Purdy as a weakness at the quarterback spot, but he's led the team to wins. So they have a complete team. I think the Niners run away with the NFC as the number one seed. I don't see anything about that, too. Again, their consistent playoff teams have been really good. The number two, I have the Eagles right behind them, winning the NFC East at the 2 seed. They brought back a lot of the guys, too. They traded away. Let Miles Sanders go to bring in DeAndre Swift. I think DeAndre Swift is going to have a big year. It's like a Devontae Smith, AJ Brown. Jalen Hurts is another year better. Offensive line still intact. Defense is still really good. I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson's loss in the secondary is going to hurt them a little bit. But they drafted, I forgot his name, the guy they drafted to replace him. But they got a lot of guys in there. They still got Bradbury and Darius Slay. They're still a really good team. I don't think they're going to miss out on the playoffs, too. I think they're going to win the division and be the 2 seed. The number 3, I got the Detroit Lions here. I know I think they're winning the NFC North. I'm high on the Lions with Dan Campbell. Jared Goff's improved a lot. Jahmyr Gibbs, I have a question with the running backs, but maybe Gibbs will be, we don't know what's going to happen, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, dog, a receiver. They got a good offensive line. The defense is young, and I think this division's wide open. The Vikings could make some noise, but this division's wide open, man. I do think the Lions are going to make the playoffs. I definitely do think they're going to win the division. I do. I generally do believe it. And the fourth seed, the South divisions are bad, man. The NFC South, this might be a crazy one, but I put the Panthers making the playoffs. You can go with anybody in that division. And spoiler, I don't have any other NFC South team making the playoffs because the Saints, I don't know. Derek Carr, I don't know if he's the guy for the New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay with Baker, they're going to be strong. They're going to be in rebuild mode. They're going for Caleb Williams next year. I guarantee it. And what's the Falcons too? You know, Desmond Ridder, there's a chance the Falcons could make some noise here too, but I think they'll definitely be fighting and clawing for the last playoffs, although they won't get it. But I got the Panthers. They got a revamped defense, some good skill guys, Bryce Young as a quarterback. Frank Wright's not a bad coach. Bryce Young's is a pretty good quarterback. Number one overall for a reason. They starting him. You know, there's something. Miles Sanders is there, Adam Thielen. They let go of DJ Moore, but I definitely, because this division, if they were another division, I'd say no, but someone's got to come out of that division. I got the Panthers. They can make some noise here. The wild card spot, I got the three, obviously. Seahawks are number one. I doubt them last year, even with Geno. I'm not going to do it again, but they got another year better. Geno, another year with Geno. Add up on the defense. Jamal Adams is coming back. They brought back Bobby Wagner. I think they're gonna be neck and neck with the Niners for the division. It's kind of similar to like with the Ravens and the Bengals. Like if the Niners have a couple injuries, the Seahawks could overtake it and make them win the division. But like if everyone stays healthy, it'll be very close between those two. So I got that one. Number two, the Vikings. They're not gonna win 13 games. I would say in the 10th spot, maybe a few less. Not having Dalvin Cook is going to hurt them a lot, but they still got Justin Jefferson. Kirk's a really good quarterback. You know, again, I don't like the Kirk Cousins hate here. They got the Vikings at the second spot. And the third one's a wide open one. I don't know, man. The Giants just are so well coached. And they did, listen, a lot of guys, they have a lot of no names, especially in the receiver spot. But the defense is young. They have a lot of good players. Xavier McKinney, Dexter Williams. But I got the Giants as the three seed. I do. Or the third wild card spot, excuse me. They can definitely make some noise. Who knew that both New York football teams would make the, in Fonz's predictions, on the too early playoff predictions. So here's a recap for the NFC. 49ers, Eagles, Lions, Panthers, 1-4 respectively. The wild card, I got Seahawks, Vikings, and the Giants. That is Fonz's predictions. Will they be wrong? More than likely, but hey. This is why we have fun here.
Grateful Apparel people have been talking about this brand for a while now. I became official brand ambassador for Grateful Apparel, and I cannot stress this enough. The clothes are absolutely incredible. They got vintage shirts, hoodies, hats, a bunch of different collections, designs, very colorful, and a simple, but great and important message. Grateful. You want to support a great brand with a great message, you want to support your boy, head on over to www.gratefulapparel.com today. Get yourself a nice hoodie, a hat, a t-shirt. Get something, and while you're at checkout, use the code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 15% off your order today. Get yourself a cool vintage shirt. They got some like Camp Grateful. They got the 3D Archie that I'm wearing right now. A Daisy print trucker that I've been wearing before. You see it on multiple videos. Again, gratefulapparel.com, code FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 15% off your order. Support the brand. Support Grateful. Support a great, great message. Check them out now. Gratefulapparel.com, FONZ, F-O-N-Z, for 15% off your order. Go do it now.
I had to close out the show. A little bit of a shorter show, I guess. We got not one, but two Fonz's top 10. Yes, Fonz's top. I got two of them. I'm going to do two of them today because, again, I'm trying to find some stuff to do. But this is one. I did this on a YouTube video a while back last year, and it was always a kind of a fun thing to do for me. So it's going to be two separate top 10s. And if you were with me for the YouTube channels, you know I did this video before. Again, it's no longer there, but, you know, let's look back on YouTube. You can follow Fonz Talk Series on YouTube. You know the whole deal. But this Fonz's top 10s are interesting. The first one, it's running backs that will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their career. For some reason, I'm always intrigued by running backs hitting the 1,000-yard mark. I don't know why. Like, I'm impressed by it. It's one of the more impressive accomplishments, the more the impressive feats. Let me just, my phone is, my thing is here. It's getting a little bit crazy here. Hold on a second there. I'm getting a lot of, congratulations, you hit your mark on your workout. Really? I've been sitting here the whole time. Anyway. So, 1,000-yard mark, I'm always impressed by the accomplishment, impressed by the feat. I like seeing the guys who haven't done it yet to see if they can do it for the first time in their career. So, that's what I'm going to do here, give the 10-1 of running backs that will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their career. And just for the disclaimer on the rules of what this list is before you guys question about it, you know, it's guys who haven't hit it yet. So, guys like, you know, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, they're not on this list because they've hit the 1,000-yard mark before in their careers. These are guys who have been in the league, rookies included, by the way. I'm including rookies in this list, that haven't hit 1,000 yards but will likely hit it. 10 being a lot of things have to work in their favor, to basically like the 2-1 where I think they're guaranteed to hit the 1,000-yard mark, no question about it, too. So 10 being least likely, 1 to being more than likely, too. We'll start up here at number 10. He's been in the league for a while. He's been close to it every single time, but hasn't done it. He's got to do it at some point, right? I'm going to put Alvin Kamara for the Saints at number 10. I'm reason why he's at number 10 because he hasn't done it, and he's always been like a third down, like a dual threat guy coming out of the backfield or whatever, too, and hasn't done the 1,000-yard rushing mark yet. But he's got to do it at some point, I think. So that's why he's at number 10. If he was a lot younger in his career, I'd put him at the top. And I actually last year, I put him at the top of the list. And he hasn't done it yet, so something's got to give, man. He's got to do it, right? He's got to do it. My number 9, Breece Hall with the Jets. He could have done it last year. He really could have done it. But again, the torn ACL. The reason why he's lower is two things. One is because of the injury he had. Obviously, last season he's coming back to. I don't know if he's going to be fully healthy when he comes back or like what they're going to rush him back into it. And two, Dalvin Cook is going to take a lot of his touches. So it could be an issue. He could still do it. He still could do it, depending on what happens with Dalvin Cook. And if he comes back from the injury fully fine. But, you know, it's more than least likely compared to the other guys. My number 8, I put DeAndre Swift for the Eagles. I put him last year, he was on the Lions. Obviously, Jamal Williams took him over with 1,000 yards in there, too. Ended up being Jamal Williams being the guy with 1,000 yards. But in regards, somebody on Detroit did that. So, but I think DeAndre Swift in a new scenario with Philadelphia. I know they have Rashad Penny. They have Kenneth Gainwell. Boston Scott's still in the mix there. But, you know, they had 1,000 with Miles Sanders last year, and I think they let him go. DeAndre Swift's going to come in. A new team. He needs a new refresher, so I think he's going to get 1,000 yards. Well, he will. There's a good chance he will with the Eagles. Number 7, he's done it for a while, but again, it's lower on the list because he hasn't done it yet. He's always been more of a receiver guy. Austin Ekeler, he's been around the league. He's been close to it. He's been at 900 a few times, but hasn't gotten it yet. He definitely has to get it at some point, right? And again, this isn't like the thing like, oh, just terms you're one of the best backs. I think Austin Ekeler is one of the best backs in the league. He does both in the receiving game and running the ball. But I think, listen, I think there's a good chance Ekeler hits 1,000 yards this year, but he's a little bit lower because, you know, he does catch pass at the backfield as well, too. So that's just another thing. My number 6, I actually put the first rookie on here. I think the first of two rookies, Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions. I think there's a good chance for him to hit 1,000 yards. They let go of Jamal Williams. DeAndre Swift is gone. I know they have David Montgomery, but you draft Gibbs that high up in the draft, there's a reason for it. You're going to put him in there and be the bell cow for you guys, too. So I think Gibbs is definitely has a good shot for it, too. He's at 6 because it was a rookie year, and sometimes it's kind of hard for rookies to do it. Number 5, I got Dameon Pierce for the Houston Texans. He almost did it. He would have done it, but he got hurt. He missed the last two games because injury. He had like 900 yards still. Pierce is an underrated running back. The Texans team is pretty bad, but he's one of the lone bright spots on here, so I definitely give him a shot here. I think he'd easily hit the 1,000 yards, so give the man his flowers. He's definitely going to be a top back in the league in a couple years. Keep an eye on Dameon Pierce. Number 4, I got Brian Robinson Jr. for the Commanders. I thought it was going to be Antonio Gibson. He ended up doing it 2 years ago, but Brian Robinson came in. I know he came back. He was shot, and he missed the first couple games of the season, came back. He looked really good, struggled a little bit here and there, but I think now with the full offseason, he's fully healthy. He's going to be the starting running back. I think he easily will hit the 1,000-yard mark, too, for the Commanders, too. Number 3, the rookie, the top running back taken, Bijan Robinson for the Falcons. When you get to 3-1, it's going to be easily. I think they'll definitely hit the 1,000-yard mark. Bijan Robinson, he's doing that Falcons offense. He's going to look really good in that Falcons offense. And I'm interested to see what they do. Not a playoff team this year, but next year they definitely will. I was a big fan of Robinson in college, and I think he's going to do really well this season. Number 2, I think a lot of people are talking about this guy. A lot of people are. Dalvin's brother, James Cook, for the Bills. They let go of Devin Singletary. I know they got Damian Harris, but I think Cook is going to take a lot of the touches for Buffalo. He's going to hit 1,000 yards. I definitely think he will in that offense. I don't think the Bills have had a 1,000-yard rusher in a long time. I don't think they did because Singletary never did. But I definitely think Cook is going to hit that 1,000-yard mark for the Bills. They want to have that rushing attack. Maybe not give Josh Allen the ball as much running it. So I think James Cook is definitely going to do it. And my number 1, Fonz's top 10 running backs will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time, Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs. This guy was a 7th-round pick. They let Tyreek Hill walk so Pacheco could run. This guy is a hard-nosed runner. This guy is going to go off, and I think he will easily hit 1,000. He almost did, too. I think he had like 800, 900 yards. I think he's a starting running back. I definitely think he's easily going to hit the 1,000-yard mark. Isaiah Pacheco, keep an eye on this guy, too. So that's Fonz's top 10. Before we get to the next one, I'll recap it for you guys here. Nice and great for you. So here it is, Fonz's top 10. These are running backs that will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their careers, 10 being maybe to 1 being they definitely will. Number 10, Alvin Kamara for the Saints.
Number 9, Breece Hall for the Jets. Number 8, DeAndre Swift for the Eagles. Number 7, Austin Eckler for the Chargers. Number 6, Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions. Number 5, Dameon Pierce for the Texans. Number 4, Brian Robinson Jr. for the Commanders. Number 3, Bijan Robinson for the Falcons. Number 2, James Cook for the Bills. And number 1, Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs. There you go. There's my 10. If you don't believe me, maybe. I don't know, maybe you do. Maybe you don't believe me. Let me know down below what you guys think. Who's going to hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their career? And then to close out the show, we'll do another one. We got two Fonz's top 10s. Wow. Fonz's top 10. There's two of them. Now it's 10 wide receivers that will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their career. This was a hard. The running back was easier because they don't do it as much. Now a lot of running back by committee. But the wide receiver one, it's a little bit more difficult. There's a lot of good options for this one. 10 to 1. 10 being, you know, this one with 10 be like, yeah, probably will happen. But the number one is, I think it's got to happen, right? Last year, I got both number ones, right? I think number one for me was Devonta Smith, if I'm not mistaken. No, my number one for the running back was, who was number one for me on the running back spot? I didn't get it. I think it might have been, not David Montgomery. I think it might have been. No, DeAndre Swift was a lot lower too. But regardless, I was like 3 for 10 on both of them. So, you know, anything could happen. Anything could happen in the National Football League. So number 10 to 1. 10, I got John Metchie III for the Texans. He missed last season. He had cancer. I forgot what he had too. But he missed the whole entire season. This guy was really good at Alabama. This guy was a third round pick for the Texans. He is going to be something special. I think he's definitely going to do well. And again, the Texans don't have anybody to throw it to. So someone's got to get all the touches. I think John Metchie was very talented at Alabama. And I think he's going to be really well do well with the Texans too. He might just crack it depending on how the offense goes. But with CJ Stroud throwing the ball, it should be really interesting. So John Metchie III will be number 10 for me on my list. Number 9. I put him lower because they have Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison for the Vikings, I think, could easily get 1,000 yards as well, too. I know Jefferson's going to take a lot of them. This guy, Jefferson's going to probably have close to 2,000 receiving yards. But hey, listen, if Justin Jefferson, I can't even say his name right, gets double covered, you just throw it to Jordan Addison. I think Addison definitely has a chance to break the 1,000 yards. Keep an eye on him. My number 8, Jalin Hyde for the Giants. This guy somehow slipped to the Giants in the third round. This guy was a really good receiver at Tennessee. We forget about him. I don't know how the Giants got him, but they needed that number one receiver. I don't even know who the hell the receiving room is. Somebody's got to hit the 1,000 yards, and I trust that coaching staff to get it done. So I have Jalin Hyatt. Definitely could easily get the 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. Again, two rookies so far. Well, technically three if you count John Metchie, but, you know, three. There's going to be a fourth one and one, four, five, six. Yeah, wow, there's a lot more on here than I thought, too. But Jalin Hyatt here, number 6. Number 7, I got, oh no, sorry, Jalin Hyatt's 8. Sorry, Jalin Hyatt is 8. Number 7, I got Zay Flowers for the Baltimore Ravens. Someone's got to do it. OBJ could do it. Rashad Bateman, I'm not too sure. I think Flowers is going to get a lot of like down the field throws, and he has a good yards after catch or yards after the run. So, Zay Flowers for me at number 7. Number 6, you know, I put Jackson Smith and Jigba for the Seahawks. DK Metcalf easily is going to take a lot of the yards, too, and he'll probably get 1,000 yards, no question about it. Tyler Lockett's a good veteran slot guy, but I think Smith and Jigba is going to have a really good season for the Seahawks, too, so I think he'll get the 1,000 yards. Number 5, I put Quentin Johnson for the Chargers because this guy's something, man. This guy was impressive in camp. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are very injury-prone. Herbert's just obviously a nice connection with Johnson, so I definitely think he will have a big season for the Chargers, so he could easily get 1,000 yards. 4 through 1, I think they're definitely going to happen. Number 4, Jahad Dotson for the Commanders. He struggled a little bit last year, but I think now with another full season under his belt, yeah, Terry McLaurin, you know, he might miss the first week of the season, but he's a good number 2 guy next to McLaurin, Scary Terry. So Jahad Dotson, I think, will easily get the 1,000 yards for the Commanders. Number 3, I put him on their last, and he was close to 800 yards. Drake London for the Falcons. I definitely think he'll do it now with Desmond Ridder as the quarterback. Struggle a little bit, Marcus Mariota, I think, is rookie. It's kind of hard for a rookie, but I got to put Drake London there at number 3. 2 and 1, they got to do it, right? 2 and 1, I have it. Christian Watson for the Packers at number 2. I'm really high on this guy, too. This guy is going to do really well. I want to see what happens with Jordan Love, but he did really well last season. I think he's going to do really well this season, hitting the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in his career. And my number 1, I hate to say it, it's George Pickens. That dude is a menace, man. That dude is really, really good. I hate how the Ravens get it every single time with this guy, but I got Pickens here getting the 1,000-yard. Listen, 2-1, Watson and Pickens are more than likely going to do it. I don't have any question going to hit 1,000 yards for the first time in their career. So a quick recap here. It is 10-1. It's Fonz's top 10 of wide receivers who I think will hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in their career. 10 being maybe. Number 1, to they're definitely doing it. Number 10, John Metchie III for the Texans. Number 9, Jordan Addison for the Vikings. Number 8, Jalen Hyatt for the Giants. Number 7, Zay Flowers for the Ravens. Number 6, Jackson Smith and Jigba for the Seahawks. Number 5, Quentin Johnson for the Chargers. Number 4, Jahad Dotson for the Commanders. Number 3, Drake London for the Falcons. Number 2, Christian Watson for the Packers. And number 1, George Pickens for the Steelers. I feel like I'm going to mess up that guy's name. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's a cool name. That wraps up for this episode. I know, a little bit of a somber thing to start. Some predictions in Fonz's top 10. Just a casual episode again, another one too. If you haven't already, check out Mike Natale's episode last week. That was a really good one, one of my favorites. I definitely did enjoy that one. Check out Fonz Talks jerseys, by the way, people. I debuted a new video for the channel previewing all the college football season's jerseys. You're going to see one for the NFL season. See my grades on that, the NBA, a lot of other stuff. Not just grades for the previewing of the season, but a lot of other stuff on Fonz Talks jerseys. You can follow it down below, too, on the Instagram, at Fonz Talks Jerseys. You can also, what else can you do? Follow the podcast, by the way, if you haven't done it already. Go to the email, slickbackkickback@gmail.com. Not the old one. I'm sorry about that. I fixed it. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. Tell a friend. Tell a couple of friends. Follow me on TikTok, Fonz the Falco, Instagram, Fonz the Falco. It's all down below. Go to Fans Idea, get a custom jersey. Use code Fonz for 10% off. Grateful Apparel. Use code Fonz for 15% off your order. Definitely support the people that support the show. Support me. You guys are great. I love you guys, man. You guys are great. I love doing this. Almost a 200. And I got a good idea who I'm going to have for episode 200 of the podcast. But a lot of good stuff, people. A lot of good stuff. Struggled a little bit here and there, but we're back. We're still going. This keeps me going, man, because I love doing this. I really do. I love doing Fonz Talk series. And if you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. Check out everything with the TikTok, too. A lot of stuff, man. 2023 has been a good year, man. Rough start. We're going to end off on a good note here. It's only August, so we got a couple more months in this in the year. But have a good day, good night, good evening. Whenever you're watching or listening to this podcast. And I'll catch y'all next time. Be good to yourself. Love you guys. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Slick Back Kickback Report. Don't forget to follow, rate, and review. Tell a friend. Tell 5 friends. Your support will always be appreciated here on the Slick Back Kickback Report.